Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. The teens will be posting videos on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. The teens will be posting videos on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So teens will be posting videos on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your we'll be posting videos on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal posting videos on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time, the videos on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be those on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting on Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting, you can Wednesdays and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting, you can grab a and also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting, you can grab a video also on Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting, you can grab a video and you Sundays at 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting, you can grab a video and you can reset 6 p.m. So during your normal time that you would be meeting, you can grab a video and you can receive a lesson and you can interact that way. So things will be continuing in that regard. Now, we want to recognize that during this time, we're called upon to love like Jesus loved. And during this time, we're called upon for generosity in maybe ways that we hadn't been involved in the past. John the Baptist was the one who announced Jesus coming. And he announced Jesus coming by telling us that followers of Jesus will do some interesting things, that their lives will be apparent by the fruit that they bear. In other words, he said, in keeping with the way that your life has been turned around by Jesus, you will live a little bit differently. And he talked about generosity. In fact, John the Baptist said that you'll be people that share with others during a time even like this. He said, if you have two coats, you'll share with one who has none. In our current situation, if you had two carts full of toilet paper, you might share with someone that has none. In all seriousness, this is a great time for us to share together. You might see needs of someone else in your neighborhood or someone else in your small group or someone else that you're working with, and you'll be able to say, you know what? God has prepared me for such a time as this. I'm able to share with you. And we want to continue this ministry of generosity even during this time. And speaking of that, it's easier for us to get in the mindset that since we're not meeting together face-to-face this Sunday morning, that we'll forget to give. We want to encourage you to continue your giving, because all of our ministries are continuing in some capacity, and there are our operating expenses continue to go on. In fact, we're going to be leveraging some other opportunities that'll help us to minister to our community. So we'll need a few extra resources, and so we'd love for you to take an opportunity to do that. You can give online. You can text to give with the number that we supplied earlier. You can give through your bank by direct deposit or withdrawal that way, and we'd love for you to participate and remember to continue to participate with us. As a matter of fact, we were prepared to roll out this month a special giving campaign, and part of that campaign was going to have to do with providing resources for our online presence, things like cameras and the like, so that we can have a better online presence. Well, this would be a great time for us to do that, and I think Pastor Shane will forgive me for preempting what we were going to do. If you'd like to give today online and say, this is for that special project for online cameras and resources, we'd love to be able just to jump each for our word of prayer thing during a time like this. Let's pray together. Far away from Jesus, what an opportunity we have for Jesus to shine during a time like this. Let's pray together. Far away from Jesus, what an opportunity we have for Jesus to shine during a time like this. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Jesus, what an opportunity we have for Jesus to shine during a time like this. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what an opportunity we have for Jesus to shine during a time like this. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are in control. Even if there are times that things seem out of control for us, you have it well within hand. And so we thank you, Jesus, that you are the sovereign one. It's really good news today to know that you're the sovereign head over all that is. Jesus, you're the master and you're the savior of us all. And Jesus, in you we find life. life that's abundant and life that's eternal. Jesus, thank you for that today. We recognize that we're following you, and following you might look differently in the next few weeks than it has in the past, but we're still going to follow you, and we're going to lean into you. We're going to spend time with you, and we're going to ask you, Jesus, what should we do at a time like this? Thank you, Jesus, that you prepared us for a time like this. Thank you that you shine through us at a time like this. We put our hope and our trust in you, O God, and we lean into you during this time. And we pray for those that are struggling among us and those that are struggling even beyond us. Lord, we pray for your healing touch on lives. We pray for your wisdom on those that need wisdom to help make decisions on what to do about this crisis, Lord. We thank you that in the midst of the chaos, Jesus, you speak peace. You're the one who calms storms. So we pray that you would calm any storm raging in our lives so that we can exercise power and sound thinking and the ministry of the Holy Spirit within us. Thank you for that opportunity today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's continue now in worship and music.
Against
Appreciate you existed in this time, but let me tell you, power of God cannot be stopped, and we believe that this crisis did not surprise. We just sang, you know, the power of God cannot be stopped, and we believe that this crisis did not surprise God. Sang, you know, the power of God cannot be stopped, and we believe that this crisis did not surprise God. You know, the power of God cannot be stopped, and we believe that this crisis did not surprise God. The power of God cannot be stopped, and we believe that this. Crisis did not surprise God. It didn't catch her of God cannot be stopped. And we believe that this crisis did not surprise God. It didn't catch God off guard. Cannot be stopped. And we believe that this crisis did not surprise God. It didn't catch God off guard. Be stopped. And we believe that this crisis did not surprise God. It didn't catch God off guard. And it doesn't worry God. It doesn't threaten his power or rule or reign in our lives. And I invite you into this time, especially if you are a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Jesus Christ, to embrace those qualities of Jesus that make a difference. Qualities of hope, qualities of faith, and qualities of love. And it's those three things, faith, hope, and love, that I want to talk to you a little bit about today. You know, in this time of crisis, it's been a really of a strange time. Like I said, I'm really thankful for technology, but this opportunity isn't where we exceed. We are better live, and we are better interacting. And this idea of social distancing kind of catches me a little off guard. I love people, and I've had a hard time not only not shaking people, not fist pumping people, having just to wave at people, having to be away from people. Even though my wife says I look better on camera than I do live, I do thank God for this opportunity that we can come live to you now. And I just want to say, before I begin, before I share anything, I just got some brief thoughts with you that I want to share. I just want to say this, that if you are in need of something, if you are worried, if you are struggling, we want to be here for you. And yeah, we might not be able to be there in person. Even if you are around the world, or where you are in the United States, or where you are around the world, this is the beauty of technology, because you could all join into this time. Wherever you're at, we will find a way for you to connect in with us. We will find a way for you to find people who will love and accept you all around the world. We will do our effort to bring forth love, faith, and hope during this time. So that's our promise to you, and hopefully you'll be encouraged to do that. So I was encouraged through this time, just thinking about how unprecedented it is, and how I've never pastored during a pandemic before. I don't know what it's like outside of watching the movie Outbreak. That's about all I have to prepare to. And so I really want to kind of enter in a little bit to this, and I, being the self-proclaimed Bible nerd that I am, I went back into church history, and I found out, do you know this, that the church of Jesus, the Jesus followers that kind of embodied the history books about the century, in the connection, they for those who are sick, in our legacy. That's the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, that's the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which that's the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which was kind of like the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which was kind of like the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which was kind of like a Ebola, the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which was kind of like a Ebola out, the past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which was kind of like a Ebola outbreak, past that we carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the third century, which was kind of like a Ebola outbreak, that we carry with us.
and the plague of Cyprian in the 3rd century, which was kind of like an Ebola outbreak, mass carry with us. And the plague of Cyprian in the 3rd century, which was kind of like an Ebola outbreak, massive people deaths. And the plague of Cyprian in the 3rd century, which was kind of like an Ebola outbreak, massive people died. And it was amazing how the church was remarked of going to those instead of running from those. Often, obviously, they were safe. They looked to keep themselves safe, but they offered this faith, hope, and love in tangible ways, offering care, accepting even those that were said to be outsiders. And then, obviously, I was reading about Martin Luther and the Black Plague in the 1500s. And during that opportunity, even Martin Luther, one of the fathers of Protestantism, he refused to leave his town when he was forced to leave when the Black Plague came because he was offering care. This is our legacy. So with that in mind, I thought I'd share one particular story of where I would like to go our idea today about how we can offer this faith, hope, and love. And it comes from the Bible, and it's something that doesn't get a lot of time in the Bible, but it's there. And one of the reasons why it's not in the Bible is because many people who were suffering from it in the Bible actually died, and they didn't have their stories to carry on. And this is what's called the Jerusalem Famine. And the Jerusalem Famine happened about 40 or 50 AD in the area of Jerusalem, and were the birthplace of Christianity, the birthplace of this church, or birthplace of Jesus' followers. Now, the church had spread out by then, and there were other people that were championing the faith and planting churches all around. And one of the particular person that you might be aware of is a guy by the name of Paul, master church planner, master Jesus follower who planted many different churches. And as he was planting churches in modern-day Turkey and modern-day Greece, he heard about this famine. And he reached out to one of his churches, one of his most problem churches, by the way, the church that he started in the modern-day Greek town of Corinth. And these were what they call the Corinthians. And we have a couple letters that he wrote to them in the 1 Corinthian letter and the 2 Corinthian letter. Actually, he might have even written up to 4 letters. We only have them to do this. This is about the grace that God, as they were able, and then to us, did not with God's will. And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in keeping with God's will." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in keeping with God's will." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, God's will." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, will." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in..." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech." And then in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech." And in verse 7, he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge." And he says, "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge." And "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete." "But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see also that you excel in this grace of giving." Let me say that again. "See also that you excel in this grace of giving." You see, he was pleading to this church, the church that had troubles, the church that seemed not to get along. I don't know about you, but before this crisis started, it seemed like there was a lot of things that we couldn't agree on. In our country and in our culture, even inside the church, it seems if you spend 5 minutes on Facebook, it will blow up and see people on both sides, brothers and sisters, picking at each other and fighting with one another. It reminds me a lot of what I read in the Corinth church. And so, as this famine arose in Jerusalem, Paul used this opportunity to leverage the need that was happening in Jerusalem to offer an opportunity for his church, his problem church in Corinth, to do something that would ultimately change their lives. And that was to enter into this idea of giving and generosity. And I believe I want to encourage you to do the same. I want to encourage you to offer yourselves up through this time of trouble to give. Now, it might feel weird because you're going to be at home. Some of you have self-quarantined. How could you serve one another? Well, I heard today of a church follower in our church that said, hey, Pastor Shane, can I get a list of people that can't get out because my kids, who have nothing to do because the kids aren't going to school, so that they can write letters of encouragement to people in our church. I want to share you about the opportunity at Davison Community Schools where they will use our parking lot to offer food, because several people in Davison Community Schools, up to 70% of them, have either free or reduced lunch. And if they're not going to school, they're not receiving that opportunity. But they will, because our church is offering with other churches in the community. Maybe you've never met your neighbor of that's insane with them because they're on times. And so I turn to God to pray for. Joshua started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would soar. Joshua started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop. Joshua started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop the corona. Joshua started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Joshua started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Started and he said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my said, you know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my son. You know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my son. You know, I want to pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my son who's the pray that God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my son who's the engineer. That God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my son who's the engineer. That God would stop the coronavirus. Now this is my son who's the engineer. This is my son who's the very logical person. And he knows that if the coronavirus can stop, then all the trouble can stop. Now I don't think he wants to go back to school. But he prayed because he believes that God can do great things. And that God can do a marvelous thing. So that was his hope that he prayed for. And then we went to Rebecca, and her heart broke for my mom, her grandmother, and said, I want to pray so that grandma doesn't catch the coronavirus. And I think all of us can echo that. All of us can think about people that are close to us, people that might be vulnerable, and how we are praying for God to help them and to guard them and to shield them. And finally, Hannah, my 13-year-old, said this. She said, I want to pray for everyone who is suffering around the world, the thousands of people that have the coronavirus, that are worried about their lives, that are worried about their well-being, they're worried about giving it to their family and friends. And she said, I want to pray for them. You see, earlier in his letter, Paul wrote, and maybe a word that you might remember, because Paul wrote to the church in Corinth a previous letter. And in that letter is with the famous love chapter of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And you can hear all that's read at weddings, and it's a great way to experience love. It has nothing to do with romantic love, by the way. It's about people getting along and experiencing and showing love to one another. But the very last verse of that is something that I want to draw your attention to, and this is what it says. After all of this, after we consider all the ways that we can love and give and care for one another, these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of where you are in your faith. Segregate, it's going to affect. But we put our focus for something great. But I also want to enter into this. This crisis will not define us. There's something that this crisis will not define us. There's something true. This crisis will not define us. There's something true. This crisis will not define us. There's something true. This crisis will not define us. There's something true about this crisis will not define us. There's something true about every this crisis will not define us. There's something true about every Christ crisis will not define us. There's something true about every Christ follower. Crisis will not define us. There's something true about every Christ follower. That body will not define us. There's something true about every Christ follower. That body will not define us. There's something true about every Christ follower. That body, all those followers define us. There's something true about every Christ follower. That body, all those followers define us. There's something true about every Christ follower. That body, all those followers from the... There's something true about every Christ follower. That body, all those followers from the plagues. There's something true about every Christ follower that bodied all those followers from the plagues all throughout history, is these Christ followers did not see their life something to be regarded, but entered into the similar sacrifice of Jesus, even if it meant them dying. One of the things that I found when I was reading a historian about this, the plague of Cyprian, and he said, these Christians don't mourn the dead, even their loved ones who have died, because they're sure they're in a better place. They have hope beyond anything we've ever experienced. Instead, they put themselves to the work of the people that need it around them. And you see how that hope takes away that fear? You see how that hope allows us to enter into something bigger? I pray that you have the same hope of my daughter, Rebecca, who says, dear Lord Jesus, please don't let grandma get the coronavirus. And maybe you could believe and pray for people and knowing that even if we enter into our troubles of this world, that there is something bigger and better. We have a hope that we can profess in and buy into. And finally, I want to talk to you about Hannah's prayer, this prayer of love. And I've already mentioned it, I've already encouraged you, and let me just echo it, that it's time for you guys to show love. Do you know that that's the mark of the Christ follower? It doesn't matter how many times you have to go to church. And isn't that great? Because you can't go to church now, right? You can't come here and experience the live worship and experience the pastor in front of you. You can't check that off your list. So all of you that were hanging your hopes on getting into heaven for how many times you're going to die, been the way tangible something for someone. Up and we'll play one more song. Anxiety, we choose also exercise our hope. Our hope is time for faith. And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus for faith. And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who... And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died. And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died. And Father, we also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. We also exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. Exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And exercise our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And prove to us our hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And prove to us that hope. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And prove to us that death. Our hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And prove to us that death is hope is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And prove to us that death is not the is in Jesus Christ who died and rose again. And prove to us that death is not the end for us, that we don't have to fear death, that we don't have to fear sickness, because Jesus has defeated even death. And Father, as we exercise our hope, we pray with hope, we love with hope, we serve with hope. And finally, Lord, we pray that you would help us to love. We pray that especially those people that maybe we haven't met yet, that you're calling us to love. Or maybe ways that we need to get imaginative and creative with. Father, allow us to exercise our love in tangible ways, knowing that it's faith, hope, and love that will see us through. It's faith, hope, and love that these are the things that will remain. Everything else will pass away, and the three things that remain are faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these three is love. Father, I pray a blessing over everyone who watched today. I pray a blessing over everyone who has interacted today, who has commented. And I pray a blessing that you would encourage them and strengthen them even now. Father, that wherever they're at, that they would feel your peace filling them and giving them this hope that goes beyond anything that they can imagine. Father, I pray over them and bless them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Let's sing.
Have a great week. Goodbye and 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 have a great week.